No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I am actually in here with probably one of the most rare interviews I'm ever going to get, Garrett from Revenge. How you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm high-key nervous as fuck.
Are you really? Even with the face covered up, you're still a little nervous.
Yeah, I still feel like shaky.
I mean, we were having this conversation before, so let's just keep it going. There's something very interesting and unique about anybody at this point who's able to build a brand that is really like separate from the founder. You know, it's like it's nowadays it's like every YouTuber, every rapper, everybody has merch. And now and then you see a brand that manages to sort of crack that, and I think you have to be sort of rare in terms of your social media or how much you put yourself out there. Is that something that you've always been pretty in tune with?
Yeah, it's like everything I do on social media especially is like for a reason. Like there's a purpose behind everything. You know, I feel like early on, working with X as well was like a big influence on why I still wanted to be low key. Because early on, he maybe had like 1,000 followers or some shit on Twitter. And
you met him back then.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it was just something that it fascinated me. Like even his name XXXTentacion. You know how he said like unknown temptation.
Yeah.
Something about being unknown or just anonymous, and I was really into like deep web and like hacking and shit like that. Yeah, so I like, not that I was doing it or like I know how to do it, but it's just interesting to me, you know. So that kind of takes a big role into like how I try to portray or like try to come off as like a owner or something, but it's because something I'm really into, you know.
Well, it's interesting when I look at you guys' Instagram, it's like you only post every every month or two. Like it's very occasional. And it's, but like Instagram so incentivizes you to just blast the platform with new content every day. And it's like as a brand who really wants to build themselves up in a long term way, it kind of takes a lot of self control to ignore all that and be like, no, we're only gonna hit you with what we feel. And also it's very tempting to just have your store be 100% in stock all the time.
Like the whole thing about just everything being exclusive, and then of course going back on like being anonymous, is just like it's so fun to me because I never really wanted attention or anything. Like I always wanted to separate myself from like the brand as much as possible, like because you know, as much as I put myself into the brand and stuff, I want to keep it separate for like from like who I am, you know.
I mean, if you're able to still have a relatively normal life, I mean, that's huge. If you can get to the money and like make a contribution or be happy with what you're doing creatively, but you're still able to walk down the street and not have people be like super concerned. And like, obviously I'm not even on the furthest extent of it, but I'm sure that like Kylie Jenner would like to have $1 billion and not have to live in a prison of fame where she can't go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah, it's not like I don't know. It's really weird. I'd never like let any of that shit. It's not like I'm huge or anything like that. So I still do the same shit every day. I'm still with my same friends, still even working with the same people I've worked with since I was like 18, 19 years old.
Right.
Nothing's changed. Like everything's still the same.
Definitely. Okay, so let's go back to the very, very early stages of the brand. How much did the brand get going before you even met X, or did the brand sort of come into existence because of X?
So I started off as being X's designer for his merch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So but even before that, dude, like there's just a deep like dark period in my life where so after high school,
and you went to the high school around here, I'm assuming?
No. So I grew up in East LA.
Okay.
But I went to like a pretty rich, like good high school.
Okay.
And going over there, I never fully felt like accepted or just or I never felt like I belonged there, because being from where I'm from, like poverty and just like not saying I had it like really hard, is just a whole new area. Like my friends have like multi-million dollar houses and shit, and like I've never seen them. Like they have their own room. I have one room with sharing my whole family in this one fucking room.
And they don't even know that your way of life exists.
Yeah, they have no idea. And I'm over there and just seeing all that shit is just like
opened your eyes to
what
is out there and how different people are living.
Yeah, so after high school, I had no idea what the fuck I was going to do. Like a lot of people, you know, I feel like a lot of kids are at this point in their life too. And you're just clueless and just so lost. And me feeling like this depression and just anger about not going to succeed in anything and just feeling all this fucking emotion just really like fucked with my head. And so like 7 months, I was just alone in my house and just working on shit, trying to fuck around with Photoshop because it was just a passion that I had. So I started messing around with that, and I would hit up like people I thought were cool in the industry and shit that I want to work with. I'm pretty sure I've even hit you up. Like, oh, shit. To design,
I wonder if I got the super shit. Old email or super old fucking DM or something.
You probably have it still in there. Damn. But yeah, I was just hitting up people I thought were cool or anyone who needed help and shit. And yeah, I found an artist who was maybe about like 1,000 followers or something on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I was just listening to his music on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this guy is insane. And like, checked out his Twitter, hit him with a DM and shit. And he's like, yeah, man, like, I like your work. I need something for like an album cover. And then I sent him some shit and wasn't fucking with it. He was like, nah, I'm like, this isn't it. Like, we could probably do better. I was like, fuck, all right, well, my shot is like over. And he actually posted a picture of his hand on Twitter, and then I looked at it and I took inspiration from this gang. It's called La M, and they have their main logo is their hand, and then it has an M inside of the handprint. So I was like, oh shit, like that. I thought that was pretty cool. So I kind of flipped the concept and I took a picture of X's hand and I Photoshopped it, made it look like cool, I guess. And then I sent it back to him, and then all of a sudden he hit me like an hour back, like an hour after I hit him, and he was like, oh shit, like this is fire, like I'm gonna call you. And then got on FaceTime, and then it was
so over. That's where that one design came from originally. Yeah. With the handprint graphic.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So what from there, how did you guys continue to work together, and when did the idea of like was the idea that did he tell you I want to have some merch that says revenge, or no. Did that just come afterwards?
No, so it was just like he had bad vibes forever before what it is now,
right?
And that was like his first merch that me and him like worked on along with a few other people. But the first design we did for his merch was the handprint on the front, and then in the back it had a picture of an angel and like a little kid in this old painting, and it said XXX Tentacion, and then in like the little lightning font that we still use today.
Mm.
Yeah, but that font I actually got from him because he like put me on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you guys, so you have that original call with him, did you actually go out to Florida, or did you guys meet, or did it take a while?
No, so like I said, I'm from East LA and he was in Florida.
Right.
And yeah, we didn't fully meet till like we didn't meet in person till maybe like six months after that.
Uh-huh.
And it was when he came to do the No Jumper interview.
Okay.
Over here. Yeah.
But you weren't there for the interview. You met him at a different time during that.
Yeah,
visit?
Yeah. It was okay. Like during that same week, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Him and Ski both came over here, and that was the first time I actually
met
him.
Where'd you meet up with
him? It was somewhere we met like at, I think in Hollywood as well.
Okay.
And then the first thing we did is like we went to go eat at Denny's and shit.
Wow.
And I like paid for their Denny's, and like they're both just like, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, yeah. Like,
you don't remember what they ordered?
I think X got like a
moons over Miami.
He got like a burger and fries and shit, and then
wow, real American.
Yeah. So yeah. That shit was fun, dude. Like that was my first time just meeting them. Like it was crazy. X especially, because we had multiple conversations. Like we were on the phone every single day. He's calling me. It's like 7 a.m. over here, and of course it's 10 in Florida.
Uh-huh.
I'm waking up like, what? Who the fuck is calling me right now? Like, why? And he's like, yo, wake up. I'm like, what? He's like, yo, we need to design this shit right now. I'm like, all right, fuck it, let's get it. And it would be like that every day.
Right.
Like him just waking, it'd be like 5, 6, 7 a.m. and I'm just like tired as fuck. And then we're just working on stuff because
right.
we want to.
But were you solely committed to doing his merch at the time, or had it already crept into your mind like, you know, at some point I'm going to want to do my own brand?
I had always wanted like my own brand since maybe like 12 or 13 years old.
Right.
But like I didn't fully know what I wanted to represent, you know? I didn't fully know what concept or idea, like I didn't have anything tangible to, and just a whole, it was just the first thing I thought of is just, I just want something cool and like exclusive, you know?
It's funny though, because like the name, okay, so the name Revenge though,
yeah.
How did that come about exactly? Because it feels like in a lot of ways that sort of summarized the way that a lot of X's fans felt towards the world, how he felt towards the world, that he wanted his revenge. Like you literally said that at certain points.
Yeah, there's multiple meanings. Like I said, the first meaning I could really explain is through my personal experiences and shit, and me not doing good in school and just always felt like an outcast at my school. I really wanted to like kind of represent those kids, or kind of be an outlet for them, saying like, just because you're like fucking up right now doesn't mean like you can't get your shit together. You know, there's still, you could turn all this negative shit that you're going through into something positive. So it's really like, as cliche as it may sound, like success is the best revenge, like that's really what I wanted to do. Like
I've always found that's like the best motivator for me, like when I don't feel like I'm actually like up against something, it can be very easy to get complacent, and when I feel like I'm having to go to war to protect, I don't know, my career or my content or whatever, like if I feel like there's somebody I'm really fighting against, somebody or something, that could be like the biggest motivation.
Yeah, it's really just like fighting against people who say you're not going to do shit, people who are counting you out already from the beginning, like, no, you can't do this, you're a fuck up, you should just stay to yourself, just go get a job, you're not going to do anything, you shouldn't pursue your dreams and shit like that. And I'm 100% against that.
Yeah, so X gets locked up.
Yeah.
And at how does your shit continue? Are you still just working on stuff and talking to him on the phone in jail? Because, like, while he was locked up that time, that's when he really started to blow up. Scheme reminded me of that the other day, that he wasn't really that big. Then he gets locked up, and he gets crazy big somehow.
So I had started Revenge. We had put out, like, two or three hoodies, like the main logo that you see now. And it was just with a different back. It didn't have his hand on the back. And we had done stuff before he got locked up. And then I was still calling, or he would call me every day and be like, yo, like, we need to still work on shit. I'm like, just talk to him, see how his mental is and shit. And it was really hard. And he needed to come up with like lawyer money and legal fees and shit to help his situation.
Right.
So I was like, yo, like, I have like Revenge is like, we have a few designs that I think are cool. I think we should just run some shit together, and we'll just put your hand on the back with our logo on the front. And then whatever we make, like, we're just going to give all to you, so you could just handle all that shit and get your ass out.
Right.
And that's what we did. We put out the hoodie and, we put
the
out
mugshot,
the
shirt.
Mugshot tee. Yeah.
Because I remember that particular drop, that X was on the phone with me from jail being like, bro, I need to get this lawyer money. Yeah. Can you please, like, he was asking me to basically just like promote with the Revenge URL the intro to a couple of videos and stuff. And I was like, yeah sure. And like,
yeah, I appreciate you too, like, so much for doing that, because that helped him and like us a lot. Like,
that's so crazy though, because I remember at that time too, him being like, yo, like, I'm going to have my boy send you $10,000 because I appreciate you promoting it. And I was like, you're locked up. Like, I don't need your $10,000. Just keep it. Well, like, it's fine. Like,
that's funny.
But he was like, I just thought it was so weird. I'm like, you're like 18 and you're offering me $10,000 and you're in prison. Like, this is kind of funny.
Dude, that was like the first time I actually found out his age. I always thought he was so much older. Like, I never had asked him. And then I was like, what the fuck, bro? Like, he's 18.
Right.
He's 18 years old.
It's very, like, when you think about it, he's almost like a cult leader type personality.
Yeah. Where
there's so many people he met that were so fascinated by him and so down to just be a part of whatever was going on.
Yeah, him, like, me and him would just have conversations every day, and it wouldn't just be about clothes, it would just be about life in general and shit like that. And he really helped me, like, get through all the fucking depression, like, anxiety and shit like that. He's like, no, like, you have to push, and I still carry that with me today, you know, like I was a little bit like that, but after working with him and just being around him, shit, like it motivated me a lot too.
For sure. So he gets out of jail, and then do you guys reconnect after that, or like what was the relationship like? Because he got signed while he was locked up. All of a sudden, he's got money and shit. Yeah. Stuff starts changing.
He called me the first day he got out. He's like, "Yo, we're about to fucking like take over the world," and I was like, "Oh, like." I was just so happy that he got out because I know what he was going through, and like every day, like talking to him and shit, it was just, it was sad. Like no one wants anyone to fucking go through that shit. Like,
we weren't necessarily even sure he was going to get out anytime soon.
Yeah. Like I was just so happy that he got out. And then, so he called me, he's like, "Yo, I want you to come to Florida. We need to work on, I'm about to go on tour. I want you to come with me, and we need to work on like the merch and shit for tour." So that's what I did. I left my house and my mom and dad, like they didn't want me to go. They're like, "No," like,
did they understand at all the fact that you were selling a shitload of merch at this time and that things were starting to go good?
It's hard to explain to them because they're so like old school and shit. Mm. And even when I was starting off, like, when I said, when I was working on stuff alone in my bedroom, just every day, like they didn't fully get it. They're like, "Why don't you go out and like get a job? Like you need to go back to school and shit." I'm like, "No, like I have a passion for this. I know it's going to work. I'm going to do whatever it takes for it to work and for me to succeed and shit." So me telling him like, "Yo, I'm going to leave and we're going to go to Florida and we're going to make some shit. I'm going to go on tour with them. And then we're just going to go from there." And like my mom was like crying, like just calling me like every day, like, "When you come back," all this shit. But yeah, we ended up going over there, stayed at his house or his apartment at the time, and there's like,
it was still the apartment. Yeah, it was not the house yet. Okay.
Yeah, it was like 8 or 9 of us over there. And it was like producers, like Stain, and then Craig was over there too.
Was it insane? What was the vibe like?
I would most of the time just be working, honestly. I'd just be working on my laptop. And yeah, it was pretty fried. It was a lot of
drugs, a lot of random fights and shit.
Not so much drugs. Like, I don't think there's any drugs.
I know he wasn't just, like the biggest
cigarettes and shit.
He wasn't like the biggest drug guy, but I just assumed that there was probably a lot of people around who were getting all fucked up.
No, not really. Like, everyone was just smoking cigarettes, and we were really just trying to be on our shit, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, we were just really trying to make the most of whatever platform we have or like whatever thing we're passionate about, whether it's music, producing, like me with clothes and shit. We're just trying to do the best that we can. And it was just like, that was like a big part of my life too, just going over there and meeting everyone from like Members Only and shit, and just working every day like really, really hard.
Yeah. Damn. So that whole like, so how long between then and you going on the revenge tour? You went on that tour, right?
Yeah, I went on the tour.
Now I just heard so many stories about how crazy that was. But was there anything like interesting or important that happens in that time period before you guys go on that tour, which became legendary?
I don't know, dude. Like, I honestly, everyone loved it probably but me.
Really?
I really disliked tour.
Because the tour was so chaotic?
It was so chaotic, and like, because based off the fact too that I have like anxiety and shit, like just being around so many people and then like having to wake up at 5, 6 a.m. sometimes wouldn't sleep. We'd have to go back on the tour bus. And then even a couple shows, I remember there's this one show, I forgot, I think it might have been Chicago, that I was so tired that I didn't even get off like the tour bus. Like, I just slept the entire time, and I just let my friends help like sell the merch and all the shit like that.
Because when you're on tour, it's very much like the craziest, most awake, high energy person basically dictates how everybody else has
be. exactly. Like, he'd stay up for days and days, and he would probably get maybe like 3-4 hours of sleep on tour, like going to the next city and shit.
Right.
But other than that, he'd just be up working, talking, like fucking around.
Where were you when he got knocked out on stage?
I was there, but I was at the merch table because I was going back and forth each like show. I would go get him and like ski clothes, and then I'd go bring it to him before.
Clothes, like going to the stores?
No, like revenge, oh, like merch, because they're like, "Yo, just give me everything the size," and then I would just go get it. And then I was picking up some of the like hoodies and stuff, and then I saw just a bunch of guys just going to the left side of the the venue.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck? There's like eight people. I'm like, oh, hell no, dude. Like some shit's fucked up right now.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to call his bodyguard, Jeremy. And all of a sudden I just seen that one dude take off on him. I was like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
It's like,
everybody just beating the dog shit out of the one guy on
stage. Yeah, that was crazy. And I was just trying to make sure, like, I was trying to go over there, see, like, if everything was okay. I saw him fucking on the floor. I was like, oh, like, this shit is crazy right now.
Was that insane after that, or was it not really that big a deal? Because it kind of felt like X was just right back to tweeting and being on tour, like, the next day.
He like, there's no way he was going to stop going on tour. He was like, I'm for sure. He's like, fuck him. Like, I'm gonna keep pushing through all this shit.
And, right.
Like, as you should, you know? But, yeah, I think very few people would continue the tour after getting that, you know?
It was crazy because at the same time that that tour was taking place, I'm pretty sure it was the same time that the whole situation happened with Ski getting jumped in L.A.
Yeah, it was...
Which I was actually at that show while...
Oh, you were at that show.
I was at that show. I show up and back, and all of a sudden I realized, like... So I show up and back, and Ski is already, like, on stage, and all of a sudden I realized there's, like, 20 dudes in back and they're all wearing the same color and they're all not looking too happy. And then, but so I'm looking at the screen, right? Because I'm watching Ski play, and then all of a sudden I see so many motherfuckers run down on them on stage, but I'm in back just watching it play out. And I'm like, what do? We like run out. By the time we get even close to the stage, everybody is already like completely gone off the stage. Like they had taken it around back and stuff. That was insane.
Yeah, that happened. I think that was prior, before us going to, that was before us going to San Diego.
Oh, okay. Cause it sparked off. Like I always felt like Ski in a weird way, like held that against X because X sort of aggravated that situation by talking super crazy on social media, and Ski wasn't necessarily like up for starting a war.
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time, like, they had each other's back, you know. It was going to be there whether they were both going to be there for each other, whether they both didn't agree on it or not.
But that's the thing, is that X was so about his friends that he took that situation further than Ski probably would have wanted it to go.
Because
I still remember right after he got jumped, maybe like a half hour later, I thought, I got to call X. I call X and told him on FaceTime, and he just immediately starts shaking.
Yeah.
He couldn't even speak. He couldn't say anything to me. He's just shaking.
Yeah, I remember I was there when I was there with him at the at X's apartment when Ski got jumped.
Right.
Over here in LA. And yeah, it was crazy. I remember him just fucking yelling, and I think he might have like broke a finger or something, like punching the door so hard.
Whoa.
And we thought he was gonna do some crazy shit. So we were all just telling him like, don't go outside, like just chill. And everyone
he was telling me like, I'm gonna hop on a plane to LA. And then like his girl at the time or whatever is all hitting me up, and she's like, Adam, you have to help me make sure he doesn't go to LA.
He's gonna violate
his probation. He's gonna be in so much more trouble if he goes to LA. I'm like, how am I gonna stop him from getting on a plane from LA?
There's a bunch of good people around him too. Like, like Will and Wiljins, I don't know if you know him, but like Wiljins helped. I think he's an audio engineer. He engineered a lot of his songs, and like I think Young Brats and R.I.P. Roach and shit like that. And then Will was actually his like first manager. Yeah, and they were both, they helped. Like when I was over there staying in Florida, they really helped me like get through like some tough shit like I was dealing with personally as well, like because I didn't fully want to like be there, I guess, because every day I was just like still with battling anxiety and fucking like not knowing what I'm gonna do next and shit like that. And they really helped me, and they were really there for X as well. So yeah, like they made sure like he was straight, like he's not gonna do anything stupid, like he'll just calm down and think about it tomorrow and shit like that.
Yeah. Right.
He like they both brought him back to being like level headed and shit.
Well, that's nice. Okay, so that tour ends early because basically it was just so chaotic that nobody could handle it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do? You go back to Florida or you go back home?
Go back to Florida.
Okay.
Go back to Florida for a month and just working over there. And just really trying to, like I said, see what the fuck is next, because no one had a blueprint or no one had like a solid foundation besides like X to what they're going to do, you know? And it was just kind of getting to know myself more. Like, what do I really want to do? What do I really want to make with Revenge and the brand and shit like that?
Mm.
And I took a lot of time to myself over there, and some shit happened, some like personal shit I was going through as well happened over here, and I had to come back and get myself right.
Okay, so you had to leave at some point? Was this before or after the Jocelyn Flores situation?
This was after. Jocelyn happened maybe, I think. It might have been before tour.
How did you know her? Or is there like a connection with that whole thing?
I didn't know her, but like I forgot how we actually met, or I don't know. She was just there at the house one day, and I don't know. Just talking about it is just, it's crazy to me still, because
you only knew her for a few days before she passed,
or? Yeah, it was maybe I met her like once.
Okay.
Yeah, but I wouldn't really talk to anyone besides like people I knew,
right?
You know, so I'd just be busy by myself, like ducked off somewhere anyway.
Because that shit was crazy for me, because like another person in the rap world or whatever kind of like hit me up. I didn't know mm-hmm. who she was or anything, but they hit me up like, oh, like this girl I know like flew out there to hang out with X.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whatever. And then a couple of days later, X tells me like, oh, this girl I was really close with passed. And I'm like, oh, it was that girl that somebody just was telling me about. And like, I don't know, it's just... I've always thought that was just such a crazy fucking situation.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I remember X just... I didn't even fully, like, know her, but when I heard the news, like, I was, like, crying, dude. I was like, what the fuck? Like, how can she, like, take her own life, you know?
Right.
Because you hear about, like, suicide and shit like that, and you... If you have, like, friends or family who have been through that, who have done it and shit, like, it affects you. Even just me... knowing her for a day, you know, or 2 days, like it affected me a lot too. Like I really care about people too. And I, like, there's a lot of things that could have just helped her. Just if maybe someone would talk to her, if I could have reached out more, like maybe it would just make her feel better. Just not do that, you know? Mm.
But so the song Garrett's Revenge, that's what it says in the description of the song.
Yeah.
It says, I love you, Garrett. Rest in peace, Jocelyn. I will have my revenge upon the world.
Yeah.
So what's the connection there that he felt the need to start out with I love you, Garrett, in the description of the song?
I actually don't know. I never asked him. Like, he called me one day. He was like, yo, like, listen to this. And at the time I would always play a lot of Nirvana and just like watch a bunch of Kurt Cobain interviews and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And I would show him. And I think too, based off the fact that I was so into that at that time, the beat was more so like grungy and kind of slow and shit like that. So he might have just made a connection with like the beat and then just like what I was into.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never asked him.
Do you know why he changed it from Garrett's Revenge to just Revenge? Did that happen after you guys sort of started having issues, or did that happen before?
It was before.
Okay.
It was before. Yeah. He told me, he's like, I'm gonna name it Revenge. He's like, cause we talked about it and I didn't even know he was naming the first one Garrett's Revenge until he put it out and shit like that. But yeah, he wanted to help like promote the brand and stuff rather than like myself, you know, like me as a person. He's like, I want to like focus on the brand. I was like, yeah, that shit's fire. Like, I don't care about anything that has to do with me. Like, just go straight for the brand.
Did you guys ever have conversations about the brand though? Did he feel like he deserved to be part owner of the brand or something along those lines?
Yeah, but at the same time, I told him, I was like, dude, like, we have to expand. Like, I have to work by myself too. And as much as I love working with you, like, I didn't want people to look at it as merch. And I felt like if we were going to continue just doing everything together, that it's going to turn into that. And like, a lot of people do that. And yeah, we are falling out and shit, man. Like, there's, like I said, the main reason why we fell out is because I was going through some personal shit over here. And he was going through some shit as well. And I feel like we could have handled that situation better, you know? And
so you think it was related to just you not being around because you were dealing with your own life out here, or what was it?
A lot of it had to do, I feel like it had to do with that. But at the same time, I told them too that I wanted to work with like more artists or do more of our own shit and stuff like that, and just not be just looked at as like a merch brand and shit. Yeah,
because that was one thing about him, is that he was super picky about who he wanted to be associated with.
Yeah,
I remember, because that was the time that we were working on doing like singles for No Jumper Records. Uh-huh. And I actually was like asking him, like, yo, like, let's get a song for this, blah blah blah, and he goes, who else is going to be on it?
Yeah.
I sent him a list of like 10 or 12 people, and he was just like, I only fuck with one of them. I'll do it if he's the only other one associated with.
Yeah.
And it's like in that moment I realized, like, oh shit, like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to work with you on any kind of music stuff, because if you don't want me fucking with anybody else, then like, how is that going to make sense?
You know? It's funny. We would have like so many arguments too, just based off fucking clothes or just like being friends, being there for one another. And I remember we had this one argument. He wanted to make himself as I think one of the Powerpuff Girls, and he wanted like his tats. He wanted to put it on a t-shirt, and he wanted like his tats on, fuck, who's the green Powerpuff Girl?
I do not know them by name. No,
I forgot.
You look like you would know.
Look at the green Powerpuff Girl. He wanted that with his fucking tats, and he wanted to put that on a shirt. And wow. I was like,
doesn't Pump
no.
Pump has like a powder puff girl on his face, I think. That's pretty common stuff in the SoundCloud era, I guess. Oh, but so you were not into that, and did he take offense to it?
Of course he did. He was like, no, my shit is fire, like, you're tripping, this is gonna go crazy. I was like, no, I don't like that. And we had like a bunch of shit like that and a bunch of arguments. But what we did too, how we worked together, we were both into like dark shit, but he wanted to do more silly or like crazy shit like that, and I didn't want to.
Right.
So we would come to like a middle ground to putting everything together, and then that's what we would put out.
That is interesting, because like him graphically wanting to do more lighthearted stuff is the same way that, like, you know, him coming out musically, he made a name for himself doing this super aggressive, grimy rap stuff, and then all of a sudden he's just like, no, I want to make a fucking campfire album. It's like he was never okay with just like doing that, the one thing that he was already popular for. He always wanted to go to the other extreme and do that as well.
Yeah, I think I was like less open to trying new shit like that too, and I feel like, yeah, maybe we could have tried that and maybe it would have worked. But it was fun. It was fun working with him. So
when he actually sent out that tweet where he said, I no longer support Revenge Clothing at all.
Yeah.
What was the conversation like preceding that? Like, how real did it get behind the scenes before he went out there and did that?
So basically, like, well, personal shit I was going through. It was like why I came back to Florida is because my mom, she got diagnosed with cancer.
Okay.
So I came back and just wanted to be there for her. Just, I felt like I didn't care about anything, you know. I didn't care about working with anyone. I didn't care about the brand. I didn't give a fuck. And he also needed me to be there for him too, because he was going through some shit. And I was like, bro, like, I'll try, but at the same time, like, I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to be doing anything. Like, I don't care anymore. And when he put that out, like, I had stopped talking to him, and I told him, like, what I was going through and just how I felt as a person, how I felt like our relationship was. And, yeah, he didn't like it.
Mm.
And but at the same time, both of us were just, we're going through our own shit, you know? So I just wish we could have handled it better. And I just wish, like, I could have told him, like, one more time, you know, that, like, thank you.
Mm. Yeah, he was, like, such a passionate person who was so focused on this mission of making this art and, like, wanting people, like, his team to be down with him, that it was hard for him to see that everybody else has their own lives and they have their own shit that they're dealing with. And, like, your mother getting sick is, like, for me right now, like, if my mom gets sick, like, I mean, this business is going to fucking stop moving at the speed that it's moving right now. I'm going to have to fucking devote a huge amount of my time to that.
Yeah.
How's your mom, by the way? She made it through, or?
Yeah, she still has it. She's been going through chemo and shit.
Okay.
Yeah, but just trying to help her, whether it's just getting her food every week, like, getting her, like, clean food, checking up on her, just it's so hard, you know, because it's still like ongoing. And
damn,
it just I don't know.
I mean, prayers up. it's still like a daily thing that you're dealing with in terms of just trying to support her and stuff?
Yeah, every day, man. Like, I still battle through the same shit I was going through like 3-4 years ago. Like, right. Nothing has really changed because people try to say like, okay, the brand's successful, like you're living good, you're chilling, like you have so and so amount of money, like all that shit doesn't matter, dude. Like, I still have to worry, I still have to care about all these people around me. Like, I literally will do anything in my power to make sure that they're straight. Like, I'll switch places with my mom right now, like, give me the fucking cancer and I'll fucking, don't worry about me, you know. Mm. You have everything. I'll switch roles like ASAP.
Damn.
It's hard to like keep a positive mindset, you know, because it's just so much like pain and shit like that I've already went through.
Mm.
And but that's really where you have to find yourself, you know. You have to, I feel like there's a reason all this shit is happening. There's a reason why I could either give up right now or I could just keep fucking pushing through whatever I'm going through and keep doing all this clothing and shit, like help get her better, be there, fucking hang out with her, just do the best I can, be as positive as I can, because if I'm not, then I'm literally making the situation worse.
That's real shit. Okay, so were you so, like, describe what that did to your mental state when he came out and did that tweet, because at that point you're probably thinking that my brand's done.
Yeah.
That starts crossing your mind, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and then at the same time I was just like, fuck it. Like, now is gonna be a real turning point to see who really fucks with us and who is just wearing it just to like wear it, you know?
Right.
So that, like, I'm happy and like sad like that we had to like cut off each other like that. But I don't know. It's
crazy for me to think about too, because like me and him talked maybe less than a week before he passed.
Yeah.
But there were multiple times where we didn't talk for like many, many months.
Yeah, and we didn't talk too for many months.
So you did reconnect before he passed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So how did that conversation come about?
He wanted me to help him with Bad Vibes Forever with the new merch. And I said I was down. Like, we basically like squashed everything and I was ready to work. And then I was just like, fuck, man. I don't know if I'm like mentally ready to like have something, because when I'm doing something, I'm gonna do it 100% or I'm not gonna fucking do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at that time too, I didn't think that I could concentrate like on Bad Vibes Forever, the brand, helping him do his own shit too, and then working on Revenge at the same time. Mm. Like, I just wanted to concentrate on one thing.
So were you straight up about him with that, and he wasn't too happy about it?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the last conversation?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, the thing I find interesting about that is that you were so willing to be honest about where you were at in terms of your mental state at that time, because, I mean, a lot of people would have, you know, you were so honest and wanted to just be yourself, and you couldn't imagine yourself really doing something that wasn't you.
Yeah, and I didn't want people to say too, like, your brand is at, is where it's at because of X, only because of X. Like, no, like, I put in the fucking work too. Like, me and him made this shit together. Like, I'm forever grateful to him, like, helping do all the shit, like, for his friendship, everything like that.
Mm.
But at the same time, I wanted it's my shit. It's like Revenge is literally me.
Mm.
And especially too with my partner Han, who helps us do all the production side. Without him and X, like, we wouldn't have anything right now, and everyone else who's just supporting the fuck out of it. And I felt like that was a big turning point to see who really fucked with us and who was just like wearing it to wear it.
Yeah. So how did you start going from there? Because I felt like I started to see, you know, Ski Mask rocking it a lot after you and X fell out, because him and X weren't necessarily on the best terms, and it was sort of like just all of a sudden you had a bunch of different people who sort of just started fucking with you and promoting it and stuff.
Yeah, Ski just like really, everyone else kind of like got what I was saying, like how I wanted to just like branch out, do shit with like other artists than just like X and stuff, but like X, you know. And everyone really supported the fuck out of it, and like they're still supporting right now. And I was just trying to do more cool shit with artists, because a reason why we do so much like whether lookbooks or collaborations with artists because I'm just so into music. Like, I probably love music way more than like designing shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, you've been so consistent in terms of just having all these different artists fuck with you that I would assume for the most part you're not really paying anybody for photo shoots or anything like that is pretty amazing when you see, you know, Shorelines, Chief Keef, Juice WRLD was repping it crazy hard.
Juice WRLD is crazy, dude. I remember I hit him up when he was like at 90K followers or some shit.
Okay.
And I had seen him wearing a Revenge hoodie. And I saw him and I DM'd him. I was like, yo, like, if you're ever in LA, like, come to the warehouse. And then he's like, I'm about to be there tomorrow.
Right.
And he pulled up, met him. Dude, he had like the biggest smile on his face. Like, yes. The first time I met him. And we were just talking about like music. He showed me all his songs, fucking playing basketball with each other. And yeah, man, I miss him.
That's crazy. Cause like Juice WRLD is very much a post X artist in the sense that I just don't think that his music would have been the same or that his mentality on everything would have been the same if it wasn't for X's influence on him. And that even goes down to the clothing. Like, I think that for him, Revenge was just automatically the coolest brand in the world because to him, X was the dude who had already accomplished what he was trying to do.
Yeah, X really put, he kind of set out like a blueprint for like upcoming rappers.
Mm.
And he was like the first one to make that style or just put more depression and like pain into like his craft, you know. And then you saw a lot more artists like feeling more open to doing that.
Definitely. So was that the only time you got to kick it with Juice, or you reconnect with him?
No.
A bunch of times.
Yeah, a bunch of times. Went to the studio. I think it was like I saw, because you went to the studio, right, with him
a bunch of times. Yeah,
yeah. I think I went before maybe like 5-6 times over there. And then we just go eat, chill, talk about what stuff I'm working on, what new music he's working on, shit. I remember one time he made like 7-8 songs in like a night, and that was the first time I've ever seen anyone like do that, because like I've been in the studio with X and like Ski and shit, and they just work on the song like the whole time, and fucking Juice, he knocked out eight or nine songs like in a couple hours.
That is interesting, because I've heard that about Ski so many times, is that he's such a perfectionist in the studio that he moves like super slow because every single piece of a bar that he puts down, he wants it to be perfect. It's a lot different than Juice WRLD, who literally would just belt out whatever the fuck he was feeling at the time, and then it's like, that's the song.
He would just keep going, dude. If you didn't like, if you didn't tell him it's time to go home, like, he would just still be in there.
And it got even crazier too, because then he starts recording in the house, so all of a sudden it's nothing for you to be in there until 10 in the morning.
Exactly.
You know? Crazy. How much do the artists inspire your designs? Because a lot of times, you know, you'll have a big lookbook for your new stuff, and you have certain artists representing it and stuff. Like, where does the inspiration come from you at this point when you've done so many different collections? Is it ever inspired directly for the artist that you actually want to do the lookbook?
Not really, but it's, I have to connect with them on something, you know, whether it's something they're doing or talking about in their songs and shit like that. And like our next one is Shoreline, and like Phoenix and OGZ, I fuck with, cause I'm Mexican, I fuck with OGZ like off the rip too, cause he's like one of the very few Mexicans who are actually like in the rap.
Flyest Mexican holding down the city right now, right? I mean, pretty much, like, cause people don't necessarily, not everybody realizes LA is like probably majority Mexican, so OGZ is like the fucking Don right now, you know?
Yeah, shout out OGZ. So yeah, I
really want shout out to Phoenix as well. Yeah, also Mexican and doesn't look white. OGZ looks white, so he gets like both sides of that. Yeah. You know.
But yeah, having them come through, do the lookbook, that shit was fire, dude. Because I really think that like they represent the city and so much of its culture, you know. And I don't feel like there's too many people like that in LA, because there's a lot of like fake shit, you know. And they're really. They're real.
Oh, yeah. They're real. I mean, it's funny because I sort of knew them like before they were rapping, but I definitely knew a lot of people who knew them before they were rapping because allegedly they were selling drugs, and I know a lot of people do drugs. So, like, I've definitely heard from like certain people who'd be like, man, OGZ, he was taking care of me back in the day. I'm like, wow, now he's taking care of your ears. That's so great. So when you look at other brands though that you respect and shit, like what could you see Revenge getting to the level of, you know, I mean, I don't want to even like say Supreme, because mm-hmm. obviously Supreme has done like everything that you can mm-hmm. do as a brand, but you know, do you aspire to have like the dope ass Revenge store and series of stores across the country? Is this the kind of stuff that you think about?
I'm always trying to just, I'm at like a constant battle with like myself. I'm trying to like outdo what the fuck I did last year, last month, yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I'm always just trying to push myself and outdo whatever the fuck I created, make something harder, get the material and fabric and cut and sew everything like on lock, getting shipping faster and shit like that. So I it's like talking about Supreme, like I respect like all the hard work coming up from just being a skateboard brand to one of the biggest streetwear brands like in the world. But I would I wear this shit? No. But at the same time, like you have to respect the hustle and the grind, and maybe someday we would want to do like a store or something like that. But right now we're really just trying to have like a solid foundation, get everything to where it's running smoothly, and put in the work, you know, because if you're not putting in the work, then you're not going to see like the results like Supreme has had or other brands like Fucking Awesome, shit like that. Yeah,
because I mean, it's just the most important thing is that if anything becomes really big overnight, then it's probably not going to have a long shelf life.
Yeah.
And when you think about Fucking Awesome, I mean, I've been knowing about him for like over 10 years. And it's just been this gradual progression. And that ultimately is going to help you more than like, you've seen so many brands that just hop on every trend.
Yeah.
And that shit just inevitably sort of kills your brand.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to, we're in this shit for the long run. Like, but at the same time, any brand could die like overnight or some shit. You saw the shit that happened like Hood by Air, like that shit was done with.
Rocky disses it, boom, it's gone.
Yeah, it's done. It's over with. But yeah, we're trying to set up for the long run.
But does that ever occur to you, because it's kind of like your brand is so rooted in like a specific sort of, you know, underground hip-hop type world, that it's kind of like, well, you never know what's going to happen within that world, because like you've already seen it, like two of the dudes who are the biggest stars rocking your shit have just tragically passed over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, that's fucked. That's crazy. There's like so many random things that could happen like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not like something you can necessarily plan for, but it's definitely like, do you ever worry that like the brand could just sort of start to go downhill? Because I feel like it's all been up and up, like in terms of the brand, but does it worry you? Do you ever feel like maybe you should take it to another level, or like you've been too slow to move to that level? Is there any of that uncertainty?
I'm not uncertainty. Like, I know it's gonna do good, because like whatever I'm putting my mind to, I'm gonna make sure it's going to happen. And I'm not gonna let myself just be so content to whatever the fuck it is right now. Like, we're not shit right now. We're just not anything, not close to where our goals are. And we really have to push ourselves more into getting it like huge, but at the same time like not selling out. You know,
how do you guys even promote yourself? It's just all your social media?
It's just Instagram.
People, yeah, there's nothing.
It's basically just Instagram. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of crazy when you think about it, because you know, there's just so many brands who dump money into advertising and shit like that. And to just be in a position where your shit does well enough that you don't have to do that is pretty wild.
Yeah, there's like no, we didn't sign, like there's no big corporations backing us. It's just like me and my partner and our friends, just like we ship from the warehouse. Like I call my friends to come ship from the warehouse and shit.
Uh-huh.
I made this, the brand, with my partner Han, and he does all the production side, so which leaves me open to do all the designing and concepts and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at the same time, man, like I don't know. I just feel like we've yet to fully establish ourselves to where we need to be and our goals, you know.
Definitely. Correct me if I'm wrong, Justin Bieber and Drake both had Revenge sweatshirts out basically at the same time that your brand really started to catch steam, right? Like, that was kind of a weird moment.
I think they did, yeah. That's, I don't know if they did theirs before or after.
I remember just thinking, like, this is strange. Like, why is nobody acknowledging how weird it is that Revenge is all of a sudden this popular company, and then also Justin Bieber has Revenge shit out
and such. Yeah, that's crazy. I saw both those.
Yeah. It was just at a time that might have made the brand feel a little odd. Like, oh, so is everybody just going to keep doing Revenge on, like, our brand name? Yeah, literally just our brand name on shit? No. I don't know. Okay, so then X passes. Do you remember where you were when you found out and what the roller coaster of emotions was like?
I was in bed. I was at home. And I woke up and I saw it. I saw it on my phone. And I thought it was like some fucking kids trolling.
Mm.
And I didn't believe it. And then I kind of put my phone down. And then I was like going back to sleep. And then I woke back up. I was like, wait, what the fuck? And then I checked my phone again, and I was like, oh, shit, dude. Like this shit happened. And then I was just, like, crying and fucking... It felt so unreal. Like, it still feels so, like, fake to me. I don't know what to say.
Did it hurt... In particular, because you felt like you had unresolved issues, like that you guys hadn't been able to get back to where you were previously?
Yeah, man. Like, I feel like all I wanted to do is just keep him, like, sane or just be his friend. I felt like I kind of let him down, you know? And, yeah, that shit still hurts today. And, like I said, I wish I could just tell him, like, thank you for everything you did, man, because it really meant so much.
Definitely. And then, like, I just remember that at that time period, it's like there was just a massive amount of, like, a surge in interest in Revenge. So it's like you kind of have to handle the fact that you just lost somebody that you cared about a lot. It was super pivotal in your brand coming together. But then at the same time, you got to deal with the fact that there's just like an insane amount of attention on the brand, and mostly from people who weren't necessarily checked in enough to realize that the brand and X weren't necessarily on the best terms at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Just seeing all the kids, like, that's when we really got like flooded with a bunch of stuff. There I go, like, bring back like the Kill hoodies or like all a bunch of shit like we did with him. And yeah, we're never going to do that. Like, I really cherish all those collaborations, and because everything was just so fun. Like, he was fun to work with, and even though we had different like arguments and just we didn't see eye to eye sometimes and shit like that, like, working with him was one of the best like experiences I've had in my life. And
did you go through any time periods there where you were just sort of unsure of exactly what you wanted to keep doing in the face of the fact that X had just passed? Like, is there anything about it that just sort of made you rethink how you were going to handle this?
My mom still wearing on my mind and shit. So both of those factors are just like, man, like, is this shit really worth it? Like, I could just stop now. I could just go out, get a fucking job and shit, and just live my life regular. But at the same time, I figure you get these situations, like, these situations are put in your life for a reason, you know? You could either fucking, like, put your foot down and say, no, like, this isn't going to happen. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to push through whatever the fuck I need to. I need to reach my goals. I need to be more caring for people around me and shit like that. And it really helped me, like, value people more and just, like, love... It's hard to like say, man.
No, I get you for sure. Just the fact that, you know, you really have to appreciate the people you have while they're there. And it's like, I feel like Peep, X, et cetera, Juice, there's just been so many people that are like super mega talented young people that I had in my life. And that's not even to mention the people that just got locked up for long ass periods of time over the past few years. And it does. It shifts your mentality. It's like you feel, I'm lucky to have any of these people around that I have around me, because I've seen how quickly it gets taken from you.
Yeah, I was just so grateful for just knowing him, you know, and knowing what type of impact like he had on myself and millions of kids, you know.
Definitely. So where do you see the brand going in the near future? Like, what are the steps that you want to take that are going to make you feel like you're advancing going into 2021, 2022? Like what do you feel like you need to do to be able to take it to the next level?
I think a main thing to get us to that next level is like collaborations and just working more like on shipping and fucking getting everything right, like everything on time. Drop, like, say we drop something on Tuesday, then it's out Wednesday, like ship, pack and ship, all the shit like that. But yeah, we have a lot of collaborations coming up, and it's gonna be the first time we've ever actually tried to work with other brands and shit like that. So I think that will be a big turning point, like, for the brand.
No sneak peeks on what brands? Bigger brands or brands that are more on your level?
Yeah, bigger brands. Yeah, but yeah, I can't really say too much right now.
Interesting. Do you think there's any chance that you're gonna like put your face out there more going forward, or is that something you're definitely trying to hold on to?
Yeah, I don't really want to. I don't think I will. Based off the fact like I'm shy too, and even like doing this interview is like hard for me to do, but I want to like challenge myself, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I tend to be low key. I think I'm gonna stay like that.
Yeah, definitely. Is it weird when kids want to get a photo with you, like the rare kid who does know who you are, and you kind of are like, you know, I want to, but at the same time, like, I'm not really trying to.
No one has recognized me
ever.
Yeah.
Like, we've done pop-up shops for your brand at my store.
Yeah.
And there's definitely kids in there, though, that knew who you were. Or did they just think that you're just one of the employees?
I was wearing the mask. I was wearing a mask, yeah, the whole time. Okay. Yeah. So, like, yeah, no one has seen me yet.
Wow. That's so crazy. Because there's, like, you know, okay, when I go to the UK, I interviewed, I don't know, 20 rappers over the course of a few days, and like 3 or 4 of them wear masks. Mm-hmm. Like, just because out there, the cops are so gnarly with rappers and shit that it's like, it's just super dangerous for them to be giving out their identity and shit. It's funny because it's like out here, we have clothing, I can think of multiple clothing designers who are on the same thing where they just don't want to put their face out there.
Yeah, I just don't want any attention like on me. I just wanted to just be focused on the brand, you know?
Definitely. What was Lincoln with Chief Keef like? That
was crazy.
Is it interesting? Anything out of the ordinary?
That was crazy. Yeah, we went out to his house, and we were just basically talking about video games and shit like that the whole time. And I was trying to, like, he had an issue with his like Mortal Kombat or something. I was just trying to fix it, and we were just talking about all types of shit.
But that's interesting, because I bought Mortal Kombat, the new one, for Switch, and I didn't really get too into it.
Something was happening with like his PC where his graphics were like slowing down and shit.
That's interesting. He's a Mortal Kombat fan.
Yeah, he fucking, dude, he has so many. He had like 12 Xboxes like in the living room.
What the fuck are you gonna do with 12 Xboxes? You only
need
one.
He had so many, like 12 TVs. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
You want some baller shit like that? You got any like expensive shit just from selling all these clothes, or are you just pretty low key?
Just pretty low key. I just have like a PC and shit.
PC costs like a fucking $1,000. That doesn't count.
No, besides that, no.
Damn. Okay. Have you so the money just sits in the bank, or you don't really go too crazy?
Yeah, it's more to me like it. I don't let that kind of like define me, because I figure that kind of like taints the whole idea and like process behind like the brand and like revenge and shit like that. Like, I don't care too much about that shit. All that shit will happen whenever it happens.
No, I feel that for sure, because you end up hanging out with too many like rich and successful people, and then all of a sudden you start to think like that there's something good about not just wearing a hoodie and jeans every day. And it's like, you know, it's like I prefer to spend more time around more normal people who don't feel the need to like reflect how much money they have through their shoes.
Yeah,
like that, just I don't really feel the need to do that, and I don't want to be around people who are doing that.
Yeah, that's why I just wear like fucking Nike shorts and like sandals and a regular hoodie and shit.
Yeah,
like, I don't tend to like dress up or like put on some crazy like Louis'd out, like nothing. I just chill.
Because the thing that people don't know, if they even wear that shit, is it feels horrible. Like,
yeah,
it's
uncomfortable.
Designer shoes I bought in my life feel fucking awful. I had a pair of Prada shoes that felt incredible, so I do want to shout them out. But for the most part, it's like it really feels like shit, like compared to, like, I'm wearing Adidas right now that were probably $100. These feel great.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any designer shoes on earth that feel as good as just like a regular ass pair of Adidas.
Yeah, I played basketball too, so I was a bunch. I would always wear like shorts and sandals all the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I knew, so I just kept to that.
That's a LA dress code: shorts and sandals.
Yeah, facts.
Got to do it for like 6 months out of the year. All right. Well, hey man, I'm really, really happy that we were able to get such a fucking in-depth conversation, especially about something that. You know, I've seen so many people like trying to write about revenge online, trying to summarize uh-huh. and trying to figure it out, but it's all very, very like secondhand information. So it's good that we got a real record out there.
I appreciate you too for like giving me the platform to like speak on it too.
Oh, no, no doubt. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we definitely want to be documenting. So for sure. You got a Thrasher collab coming? Is that what you're trying to tell us with a hoodie, or are you just a fan?
No, this is public housing skate team.
Oh, that's there. Their yeah, collab, their, public housing.
This is their hoodie. They actually did like a knockoff of Thrasher, and then Thrasher ended up like seeing it and fucking with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that gonna work for revenge? Like if somebody makes some fire revenge bootleg shit, or you're gonna just like hit them up and be like, "All right, let's try it."
It can. Could happen.
That's fire. If you could have one performer, entertainer, etc., do like model your stuff or like do some kind of collab or whatever, is there anyone in particular that would be like the ultimate goal?
Damn. That's hard. That's hard as fuck. Let me see. I think I would say 50 Cent.
Oh my God.
Based off the fact that when I was a little kid, like I would listen to shit every single day. I'm like 5, 6, buying fucking Get Rich or Die Trying album. That was like the first album I ever bought.
Right.
And then listening to The Massacre and shit like that. Like, yeah, he impacted like me just being so young too.
Huge. I was like 18 when 50 came out, and it was like game over. Like, this is the rapper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He put me like he almost made me fucking wear do-rags and shit when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh my God. A white kid came up to us at the skate park the other day because we did a interview with this dude, 30 Deep Grimy, who always wears a do-rag, and this white kid is just like, "Bro, your 30 Deep Grimy interview is the reason why I wear a do-rag."
No, like, dude, like you impact a lot of people too. Like,
to wear do-rags? I don't know. <'Cause> this kid is like, I'm like, you know that the do-rag thing is like, they're like cooking up their waves under there. Like, I'm pretty sure your hair ain't getting wavy no matter what you do, buddy.
Yeah, but like the whole No Jumper shit, dude. Like I said, I would watch your interviews and like Xavier Wolf and then X, one. Like Suicide Boys and shit. Yeah.
Appreciate that, man.
It really like inspires kids, you know? Mm. It really kind of like sets a foundation or just like gives them an inside look at like what they need to do if they want to pursue certain shit like music or clothing and stuff like that.
I appreciate that. I mean, like, part of the thing about revenge is it has such a like strong brand identity that as soon as I picture 50 Cent wearing it, it's just it feels like I'm picturing like a younger 50 Cent, like a real bro 50 Cent. Like, he's just straight up, he has a different energy in my brain when I picture him rocking it.
Yeah, I probably have to make something like specifically more so like old for his fucking like decade.
Same exact font as the revenge hoodie, but it says G in it. Somebody mock that up for me, please. I'll take that bootleg. Shit. All right. Well, Garrett, I appreciate you coming on, and definitely look forward to the up and coming changes with the brand and everything you got coming forward, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks again. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want support.
If you like this interview, go like, comment, and subscribe on No Jumper.